one of those things, a couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in the...
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with...
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic...
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
The pumps make the yams more yammier.
The whats make the whats more whattier?
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, The Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. A wonderful Tuesday ahead. Hopefully it might rain, but that's all right. We'll be fine. What's up, Randy? Good morning.
What's happening, man? Yeah, well, happy Tuesday to all the listeners out there listening to us on the radio.com app. Or if you're in your whip, heading to work or going to do whatever you got to do, we do appreciate you tuning in. Yeah, I mean, I can't decide what it's going to do, if it's going to rain or not, but hey, it's all good. We got 4 hours of fun. Kind of filtered radio to do, and we got a lot to talk about, man. Because yesterday after the show, man, stuff just started dropping down, and then right before our show, some more NFL news comes out. So I mean, hey, man, it's gonna be a fun 4 hours. It was
NFL news just came out.
Remember we were talking about earlier this week, you know, last week the preseason, right? The owners wanted two games. Well, all know the players wanted zero games,
right?
Preseason games. Well, I guess the NFLPA just dropped their note or letter and requesting that they don't no preseason game. Now, some people in the know are thinking that this is going to be like a back and forth negotiation type thing that might end up like this baseball mess. Yeah, I ain't got time for that, Andy.
I read last night. Yeah.
Yeah, I ain't got time for that, man.
If the NFL is in the position of learning from what we've seen this summer, and I think that that's how they've tried to convince us that they're in the best spot of all these leagues. And I think that was generally in reference to dealing with the pandemic. But I think you can learn from other mistakes these leagues have made as well throughout trying to get back on the field. I mean, is there any bigger black eye or any bigger warning that a league can put on itself than what baseball went through over the last couple of months? Like, the NFL is in such a good place to just kind of chill for a while, let these leagues get back out there. I don't know. Hopefully there's some improvement in protocol and in safety and in coronavirus cases, and then get their season going. The last thing you want in the middle of this, again, baseball literally just demonstrated this to us. The last thing you want is to be squabbling over money, over contract details, over things like that. You don't want to do that.
Over preseason games.
Over preseason games. Preseason games is actually less important than money.
Tell me that y'all about to start fussing over preseason games? Come on, man.
Come on, dog.
Yeah. I saw that. I was like, oh, y'all really got to tell me that on this it's lovely because we're alive. On this lovely Tuesday, that y'all about to start negotiating over preseason games? Man, be for real.
Don't do that.
Be for real, man.
I'll tell you who this Tuesday is without question lovely for. Like, particularly lovely for one guy.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes is having a really nice Tuesday. Can you imagine waking up today? Like, I imagine he's got a hangover. I would think.
Oh, yeah.
If the post
Super Bowl celebration didn't tell you that Patrick Mahomes gets it in. Patrick Mahomes gets it in. Yeah.
Yeah, he gets after it. He's got no problems getting after it, and rightfully so. Patrick Mahomes signed the richest contract in the history of professional sports yesterday, which is a hell of a thing to be able to say.
As a football player,
a football player. I mean, you know, with what we saw Mike Trout get done, and baseball contracts are always different. I know that there's big money in other sports as well. The difference, I guess, is that those other sport contracts are guaranteed. But when you look at Patrick Mahomes' contract, it is not like most quarterback contracts, NFL football player contracts that we've seen before. Patrick Mahomes has the lion's share of the power in this situation. Now, there's always going to be people that dive into the contract and want to talk about how Mahomes didn't do this right or his agent didn't do that right. Like, come on. The dude just signed a $450 million contract over the next 10 years. Like, they did a good job. The contract is solid.
This is a good, it's amazing.
It's a solid contract.
No, it is an outstanding contract where a lot of, I mean, like his guaranteed salary for like down the road comes into part next year. I mean, it's a lot of money, and it's always that those analyze, you know, it's always the ones that can't be in a position to get that. I always talk about, well, I wouldn't have did that, or well, he shouldn't have. Man, analyze D's, all right? How about that? How about that? All right? That man just got all that money, all right? Yeah, structure different and everything, but the way the contract is structured, you know that he's not going to play out the whole 12. You know they're going to have to remove and take some money and do all this stuff. Man, Patrick Mahomes winning. All right, so again, analyze D's.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Patrick Mahomes gets $140 million if he slips in the shower tomorrow and can't play again. Like, $140 million, no matter what happens. The likelihood, like you said, Randy, at some point, I don't know, in 2027, 2028, something like that, when you get in the back end of that contract, they'll get back to the bargaining table and probably get him a new one. So at that point, he will have earned around $275 million of this contract, which, by the way, in NFL history, there's only a couple players that have earned anywhere near that. Eli Manning is the all-time richest player in the history of the league in terms of contracts he made. 253, 254, something like that. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes is going to surpass that and hit the market again. Like, that's what's so crazy about this contract. And the thing about it to me that really stood out is, because we spend a lot of time, whether it's here in Atlanta with Matt Ryan or in Dallas right now with Dak Prescott, or even here talking about Dak Prescott's deal, we spend a lot of time talking about the next quarterback up and what the precedent has been before him and the market and his talent and all that kind of stuff. Patrick Mahomes is a great example of how that doesn't really matter. When you're in a different class. Like, Patrick Mahomes is in a different weight class. It also has a lot to do with the fact that he's 24. But when you're actually the best, not just the next guy up who's good, when you're actually the best player at the most important position and you're that age and you've won a Super Bowl and an MVP and done everything you possibly could at that time of your career, then you get a different contract. This is not a precedent-setting contract. Like, the next quarterback who's up, whoever that would be, I saw some people talking about Dak and Deshaun Watson and what their agents are going to ask for. Stop. No offense to those guys, but it's not the same thing.
No, and the thing with the bunk is that, you know, everybody knew this was coming. We all knew that Pat was going to get over $400 million. I think a lot of people knew that. And the thing with it was the structure of it. There was no way people were talking about he's going to get $4 million and he was going to get a five-year deal. That was not going to happen. It was going to be a deal like this if you're talking about him getting $400 million contract. So, I mean, the years don't – I mean, it don't surprise me, you know, because if you look at the dynamic between Pat and Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy – and the organization, it just seems like it's a perfect match that's going to be there for that long. It just seems like it. And one thing I love about Pat and the thing that you hear about him is that he could have got more. he actually could have got more money than he did. But I look at Pat, he's such a polarizing player because he's the best player in the league, but he doesn't realize he's the best player in the league. You know what I mean? And whenever I hear people talk about him, he's such a humble dude, but he's only 24 years old. That's the thing people don't realize. He's 24 damn years old.
Yeah.
And the way quarterbacks are playing now into their 40s, I mean, there's no way to see that. I mean, the guy, he has it all. And if you look at his first 3 years, he started two of them. And they were talking about it this morning. They were preparing for this after his first practice in minicamp as a rookie. They were like, "Oh my god!"
This is different.
Alex Smith came off his best season ever.
Yeah,
and they were all thinking they're thinking about Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that is what this young man brings to the table. So good for him. Good for the Chiefs. And no offense to Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes, they ain't getting that. These are the caveats that you can say Deshaun or Dak get somewhere near that. If they win a Super Bowl this year, MVP or something, the number will go up. But they're not getting – this is not a – okay, this ain't a set to market. This is a – I'm on another level, and y'all ain't there yet.
Yeah.
All right, now – yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, look for Deshaun and Dak – well, especially Deshaun, because I think Deshaun's a better quarterback than Dak. Deshaun somewhere maybe a couple mil above Russell, but he ain't getting in that. He's not getting 40. I don't see him going that high unless he goes with a multiple years deal.
Unless he goes with a really long deal, and he's on record saying that he wants to take shorter deals, which, you know, there's there's arguments to be made on both sides. I mean, shorter deals, if you continue to be great in those contracts, then shorter deals work out better in the long run. Longer deals, if something happens, and it is the NFL, I mean, as much as quarterbacks are protected and quarterbacks are playing longer than they ever have before and all of that, like, there's no guarantee that anybody is going to make it through the next season in the NFL, let alone through a 12-year contract. So having that money and having that security is a really solid thing to do. The other thing about it is the way that it's structured. I mean, the Chiefs are really smart, and Patrick Mahomes, I don't want to say charitable because he just got $500 million, but Patrick Mahomes was also pretty savvy in how they structured the next couple of years.
Yeah.
In the cap hits that it's going to be. Like, in the next three seasons, the cap hit that Patrick Mahomes is going to be for that team is very reasonable. So the core that they have together right now that just won the Super Bowl, there's no reason to think that you can't keep that core together and go for it a couple more times. And if they do, even if Patrick Mahomes ends up somehow not living up to anything close to this contract, if they get another Super Bowl, you get two Super Bowls, it's worth it. The whole thing is worth it.
And there's no reason for you not to believe that they're not going to win another Super Bowl. They got 21 or 22 starters coming back on that team.
Right.
I mean, there's no reason not to think that they won't. I mean, they got to find a way to get Chris Jones in, but I mean, dude, they are set up for the next few years as one of the better teams in the NFL. And when you look at Patrick Mahomes, he's the catalyst of it. Patrick Mahomes is the best player on the most important position in the NFL. And he just was rewarded. And it just seems like it's not surprising by any of the players. Like, sometimes, like, damn. No, it's like, yeah, he deserved it.
Right. No,
like,
one's upset about it. Everybody gets it.
Do you see what this man did?
Yeah.
This man, in 2 years, he's been an MVP and a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Come on.
It's that rare situation where, you know, someone is so clearly great that when they get the money like that, everyone's like, yep. Like when Mike Trout got his contract last summer, everyone's like, yep. Like with Bryce Harper, it was like, well, I don't know. Maybe Bryce, look at his on-base percent. Like, there was like some squabbling over Bryce Harper. Mike Trout in that stratosphere of, yeah, whatever. Pay him whatever it takes. Just keep him on the team. Patrick Mahomes, similar. There's not that many guys like that. There really aren't. There's not that many guys like that. In fact, there may only be one in the NFL. And well, he got $500 million yesterday because of it. Good for him. We'll come back. We'll get to everything else that's happening in the world of sports. Not great news yesterday for the Braves. We were on the air when Nick Markakis said he's not going to play this year. The Braves' schedule came out last night as well. We'll run through some of that. Coming up next on the Tuesday edition of the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. What's trending next? Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. With over 200 fully stocked trucks ready to help, Reliable Heating and Air offers next day installation, or we pay a $500 installation guarantee. Call for details.
Biggest thing is I talked to Freddie Freeman the other day, and just hearing the way he sounded on the phone kind of opened my eyes. And, you know, Freddie didn't sound good. Just to hear him, the way he sounded on the phone, you know, it was tough. It was kind of eye-opening. And, you know, with everything that's going on, you know, not just in baseball, but in the world, it makes you open your eyes. I got three kids that I've missed for, you know, 11 years now.
That's Nick Markakis yesterday having a conference call with the media, talking about his decision to opt out of the 2020 season. That happened in the middle of our show yesterday, and you probably heard a lot of the audio by now. I mean, the bottom line for me is a couple different things. It's a bummer because Nick Markakis is a leader on the team. Anytime somebody has to make a decision like this, is always tough, because health-wise, in terms of where he's at right now, he could have helped this baseball team next year or this coming season. Leader in the clubhouse matters as well in a shortened, weird year like this. It would be nice to have a calming presence. And I heard this from a lot of the writers that cover the team. You name it. Joe Patrick, who's going to be joining us in the 1 o'clock hour. Dave O'Brien, whoever. Nick Markakis was one of the last guys that they thought, if anyone was going to opt out of this year, to opt out of this year. So him doing that came as a huge surprise to everyone as well. It doesn't end the season for the Braves. It doesn't mean the Braves still can't have a really successful season. What it does mean to me more than anything else is any assumption that you have about this Braves baseball team right now, whether it's about individuals like Markakis and what they may do, or anything else like Freddie Freeman testing positive for the coronavirus and being very sick, just get rid of the assumptions. This is going to be an assumptionless season, because what you think you know, you don't. in this situation, it's the weirdest baseball season we'll ever see, and trying to predict what's going to happen is impossible.
I mean, I think anything right now is unpredictable, man. I mean, we're never seen anything like this, but I could say this about the Braves. It ain't starting out good for the Braves.
No,
I mean,
but that's not to say the first 4 days.
Yeah, that's not going to say that stuff is derailed, but it's not starting off good for our squad. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, I will always respect a man like Cakes and his decision to not want to play. And he explained about his kids and all that, which, I mean, it always strikes a chord to me when you say that you'll sacrifice stuff for your babies and everything, because at the end of the day, they're the most important people. Them and your wife or whatever, your significant other should always be number one, you know, your family and everything, and ahead of all that. That's what it goes back to. Sometimes people look at athletes as not human, you know, mm-hmm. and not realizing that we do have families, we do have kids, we do have problems. I mean, everything is not as peachy as you think it is. Even though you got all the loot and all that, it's still problems. And for him to do that, especially after him, you know, that must have struck a chord with him just talking to Freddie. And I'm sure he didn't see Freddie. I'm sure he talked to him over the phone. Mm-hmm. And for him to, you know, hear in Freddie's voice how sick he was, I'm sure it had a definite impact on him. But he's not going to be the last one. I still don't think this derails the Braves. They still should be one of the World Series favorites, because they have so much talent and so much depth.
Yeah, and that's what Brian Snitker talked about yesterday as well, dealing with Markakis not being there.
Doesn't help you, that's for sure. I mean, we're just, you know, somebody else is going to get an opportunity. True. And you know, we'll, you know, it's like I say, we lost him last year. You know, when we lost him, that was big. And but, you know, these guys found a way to put that aside too, you know, and it was in a tough spot and a key part of the season. And we rallied around and made it happen. And I think this group is able to do that too, again.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. In regular seasons, you're going to have guys go down with injuries. The Braves dealt with guys getting injured last year. Started the season with a weird rotation because guys weren't ready coming out of spring. Didn't have Ender for a lot of the year. Markakis goes down. Dansby Swanson was hurt for a lot of the season. Freddie Freeman injured at the end of the year with his elbow. Like, you have that kind of stuff, but I still just think this is different. Like, because that stuff's still going to happen. You're still going to have guys get banged up in this 60-game season. Yeah. But you also have that weird unknown of, you know, when somebody might test positive and be out for 2 weeks hanging over your head as well. That's the thing that you can't, like we said, you can't predict, you can't account for, you can't assume any of this is going to happen. Now, the schedule comes out yesterday, and it's always fun to look at schedules and break down the ins and outs of them and all that. We're gonna do that because that's what we do. It's exciting to have a 60 game schedule. But the natural thing for me is to look at July 24th and the opening of the Braves season and say, all right, 20 games in 20 days, that's a lot. The mm-hmm. Mets to start in New York, well, that's Jacob deGrom. He's really good. But, like, there's no telling whether or not Jacob deGrom's going to be there. You know? Like, that's the weird thing about it is you look at it, it's like, deGrom's good, and then you got the Rays, and Blake Snell's a Cy Young winner. Are any of those people going to be on the team? I don't know. Probably, maybe. I'm not sure. It's hard to actually break down a season and act like you know anything in this situation.
Of course not. And then when the names you're calling out, yeah, they're great, but they're not going to do their full boat when, you know, on the 24th. DeGrom is not going to go. You know, he's not going to do his full boat. He's not ready for that yet. And if the Mets push him to that, then they're just stupid. You know, just dumb. You know, you got to reserve some of these things, and that's where it goes back to how good is your manager? How good is he managing your team as far, especially that pitching staff, because they're not ready to go seven innings yet and all those things. We know that it's going to take a minute for them to rev back up. And you know, so, I mean, you can look at some things maybe as an advantage right there. But I just look at it, all teams are starting out with the same kind of questions as far as how do we do this rotation? How do we do this? Who's going to be here, like you said? What happens if this person gets sick? All these things are still out there in the atmosphere as much as they're trying to get baseball back. I saw some video last night of, you know, the Yankees. They were having their first inter-squad scrimmage and all, like, not necessarily scrimmage, but some inter-squad stuff going against each other, because, you know, you got to find some way to get some kind of rhythm. You're not going against other teams, you're going against each other. And that's going to be the typical thing with the NFL. If they don't have any preseason games, they're just going to practice against each other and get ready for the season. That's what you got to do, because they're not letting joint practices. They're not possibly won't let preseason out. And so now they're at a situation where you just got to go in it with all the hope in the world that, you know what, at the beginning it's going to be raggedy, and we know that. But once we get our groove, we'll be fine. But unlike regular baseball season, you can't really be that raggedy out the gate, can you?
I don't know. I mean, if everybody is, then I guess it's the battle is, okay, of the least raggedies. Like, the least raggediest team will have an advantage, right, early in the year. I don't know how to exactly predict who that's going to be. But it's going to require sports fans, me, all of us, to do something that I'm not very good at. I think you're a lot better at it than I am. Yeah. It patience, but also just like enjoying the day for the day, like opening day and the first series and all that kind of stuff, instead of being like, okay, what does this mean for next week? What does this mean down the road? What does this project? Like, trying to use anything as an indicator of the future is going to be really, really hard this season, because it's just such a uniquely different, shortened, who knows how raggedy it starts out season. I'm going to have to really get my Zen, my Randy McMichael woo-saw attitude, and just watch these games and enjoy mm-hmm. them for the fact that they're happening. Because it's very possible mm-hmm. that they might not. So if they do, just sit there and be happy. Just breathe through my nose.
What do you always tell me? What do you always tell me about fans? What do you always tell me about fans?
We can't do that. We're incapable of it.
You're incapable of it. So, yeah, nobody wants to hear that. Everything you said, I love what you said, but ain't nobody studying it, man. It's impossible. You're not going to be able to do it. You are not going to be able to do it. There's going to be some broken TVs early early in August. There's going to be some broken TVs, because we've been starving for it, though. That's the thing about it. We've been starving for it. All right. So we expect everybody to come out the gates and, hey, let's go. But it's not going to work like that. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying. It sounds good. Sounds like an amazing.
But how do you do it? You do it.
How do I do what?
Just enjoy it.
It's easy for me to enjoy it. I don't worship teams and players and all that. You worship stuff unless you – because those things can't control what goes on in my life. So why the hell do I want to break my stuff? Do I get mad when Georgia plays bad? Yeah, I get mad, but I'd be damned if I'm going to tear some stuff up and kick some stuff and pout and all that. I don't do that. Yeah, for what?
Man, I get real pouty.
Georgia ain't make me pout. I give Georgia a one-hour window after a loss. All right, well, damn it, that sucked. And move on.
Again, teach me. Teach it's me easy. Those ways.
It isn't easy.
It is not.
Yes, it is, man. It's easy. Yes, you just have to adopt the I don't give a damn mentality, Andy.
It all gets back to that. I know.
I don't think you've been trying, Andy. And I've been trying to work with, but you can't have two radio show hosts that don't give a damn. You got to have one at least. You are always the positive light. I'm always the realistic light. And that's how it should be. That's why we're so great together, because I don't give a damn about most things, and you give a damn about all things.
Fair enough. You asked a really good question earlier about how good is your manager? It's really going to come down to how good is your manager and how much you trust your manager. We're going to get back to that in the 11 o'clock hour, because, I mean, on paper, like just from a resume standpoint, Brian Snitker as a manager in Major League Baseball, pretty damn good, man. He's made the playoffs in the 2 years he's been the full-time manager. He got the job because of what he was able to do when he took over early in a season. And yet there are tons of detractors. And some of the criticisms of Snit are completely valid. I think some of them are a little harsh. But if he's able to manage this and get to the playoffs, it seems to me like maybe we should all chill out and enjoy Snit. But we'll get to that in the 11 o'clock hour.
Enjoy Snit.
Just enjoy Snit, man.
You'll hear that later.
You want to hear from Darren Eales quickly? Let's do it.
Of course.
This is to be expected. We can't expect there not to be positives, but the key is going to be how the protocol works now as we go forwards. And hopefully this is something that, you know, Manchester United will have dealt with it. We'll be able to move to Orlando and everything will be okay.
Yes, positive tests are not a surprise. It's a part of the process. What I don't think anyone predicted was that an entire team would leave the MLS's back tournament, which is what happened yesterday with FC Dallas. And you mentioned this on our pre-show call, Randy, and I read this too. I don't know that it was Dallas's decision. Yeah. It sounded like the other teams in MLS were like, hey, why don't you guys get out of here if you're not going to take the bubble seriously?
You know what I'm saying? Get the hell on. Get the hell on, man. And, hey, I truly respect them for saying that. Get the hell on, man. Y'all want to go around tripping and everything? How about this? How about y'all just go back to Dallas? All right, we'll hang out here and have a good time and everything and do all those things, man. And it'd be a crazy thing if, like, NBA gets down there and something happens. Hey, man, y'all got to get going, man.
Yeah,
because we say that they're going to be positive test bunk. Our whole thing is, what's the cutoff until you say, okay, we can't do this? How many positives do you have to do until you say, okay, we can't do this?
Right. Absolutely right. And I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Blow the whistle.
They kicked Dallas out. They said, get out of the bubble. We can do this without you. All right, we'll come back. We'll get the big deal, small deal, no deal with Brian Gebhardt, including the NBA's decision to not allow players to put what they want on their jerseys down there in that Orlando bubble. That and more coming up next on a Tuesday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, radio.com app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Imagine you like listening to John and Hugh. Now imagine bringing them with you anywhere with the radio.com app. Download our app and listen anytime to any show.
Or stream on your smart device.
You can even rewind up to 24 hours and catch things you missed.
Download the radio.com app now from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you on a Tuesday. 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. We'll get back into the ridiculous details of the Patrick Mahomes contract. $500 million, man.
Yeah, man.
Not a single person batting an eye. Like, he's worth it. Yeah, I get it. I understand. We'll get back into that. Some other NFL news coming up at 11 o'clock. We'll get back into the Braves, their schedule, the unknown, everything that's going on with baseball at 11:20 as well. And just about a minute away from big deal, small deal, no deal, want to give Brian Gebhardt some love here for a minute before we have him jump on. As Brian is getting set to take off for his annual golf trip with his buddies today. They're taking off this afternoon, headed up to Western North Carolina, and going to play a bunch of golf over the next few days. Sounds awesome. Brian just tweeted out a couple pictures of the provisions, of the preparation process. And he's got 5/5 of liquor. I see a bullet bourbon. I see a Maker's Mark. I see 2/5 of Tito's. I can't tell what the other one is. And then I just see boxes and boxes of White Claw and Truly. Like, they're ready to go, Randy.
They're ready to go. Hey, man, I saw the picture. I'm just like, man, can I come? I might not play golf the whole time with y'all, but I drank the whole time with y'all, man. But, I mean, I can't even remember last time me and the boys went on just all us trip. It's been a minute, man. It's been a minute.
Bachelor party for me a couple summers ago. Yeah, it was probably the last time, man, I was able to do it. Yeah.
And we just had epic times, dude.
I can only imagine.
Oh, we left our mark everywhere we went. I'll just say it like that. Everywhere we would go, they would know us.
But, I can only imagine.
Yeah, man. I mean, it looks like they're going to have a great time. And, God, Doc, yeah, just, you know.
The only thing I don't see, as I'm looking at the picture, I also see a bottle of Crown Royal sitting on the table. Some Canada Dry seltzers or Canada Dry ginger ales. I don't see the paper towel holder. The remember when Brian was bragging about his paper towel holder last week? I don't see it. I don't see the paper towel holder.
It could be on the other side, man.
He wasn't lying about that. That'd be a weird thing to lie about. Anyway, let's get the big deal, small deal, no deal with Brian.
And now 92.9 The Game presents Big Deal, Small Deal, or No Deal with Brian Gebhardt on the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Brought to you by the Yams Committee and all of its members. Brian Gebhardt every day at 10:45. Hey, Brian.
B.
Hey, guys. I do have the paper towel holder, but it's not part of the provisions in the preparation because we can't bring that with.
Fair enough.
You can't lose a paper towel holder on a trip.
You don't want to do that.
That'd be terrible.
You guys have a whole pack of toilet paper. You bringing that with you?
No, it's paper towels.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you don't really know what's going to happen. So we're going to these golf villas, and you don't really know what's going to be there. So you kind of hope there's a full kitchen, there's access to a grill, but we don't really know what other amenities we have. But we'll figure it all out because we got plenty of booze.
That's all that matters, dude. You're taken care of from a booze perspective.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, and for everybody concerned with no beers in the pitcher, we'll buy those all up in Asheville because obviously it's one of the beer capitals of the world.
Smart.
So any suggestions people have, send them on Twitter. Please do.
Yeah. I mean, you won't have a problem there. It's great place. Not that there's a bad place to drink, but Great place to drink local beer. Anyway, I'm jealous. Have fun. Hit them straight.
Will do. But speaking of a serious topic, the NBA sending players an approved list of phrases they can put on the back of their jerseys when it comes to making statements on social justice without letting the players give their input on the phrases used. Big deal, small deal, no deal.
I think it's a big deal, and here's why. I understand what the NBA is trying to do because you got to have 300 players with 300 different slogans, and you don't know what they're going to put or whatever, but I just, you know, I thought it was about the players and them making their statements while they're down there. And, I mean, I do appreciate, you know, what the NBA is going to do as far as the court with the Black Lives Matter and all those things. I'm sure they're going to have a patch on it, but I still don't think you should censor them. But yeah. I don't think that enough of the play. I think what they're worried about is the players doing something, putting something inappropriate, and I just don't see that happening.
I don't either. I
don't think they would do that.
Yeah, it seems like babysitting, and it's absolutely censorship. I understand the NBA has the right to do that. Obviously, they're doing it, but it reeks of lack of trust. Like, the other thing too is anything that anyone's going to put on their jersey, there's like at least some level of checks and balances that it has to go through before it gets printed, right? Like,
that's what I'm saying. You would think
the player
so, right?
doesn't get to just go to the equipment manager and say, "All right, write this on my jersey. It'll be great." And then get it printed up and go out on the court. I would think that there would be some process to make sure that that doesn't happen. Yeah, I mean, like, pre-approved social justice messaging is
it's not really good, pretty weak.
Yeah, it's kind of weak. Yeah, it's like when in 2016, all the players and owners were like, "Well, just kneel together in solidarity." Solidarity towards what? You know, solidarity for brotherhood. Wait a minute. You're co-opting the message, you're watering down the message, and you're taking away from the actual conversation that Colin Kaepernick and other players were trying to have. Anyway, it doesn't mean it stifles the entire ability to talk about this stuff, but I think that's pretty weak. I think they should let them write what they want to write. If someone wants to write something dumb, maybe step in before that happens, but let players be creative. A lot of these guys have a lot of things to say, and I think it would have been cool to see what they would have come up with if they were able to come up with whatever they wanted.
Big deal, small deal, no deal. Dwight Howard deciding that he will play for the Lakers when the NBA returns to action later this month and saying he will donate the remaining salary that he's going to make, which is $700,000, to charity.
It's a big deal, especially with the donation part of it. I was never sure that Dwight was going to sit out anyways. I mean, it was still 100. He never said definite. He said he would think about it. Now, we know Avery Bradley definitely is not coming. It's not going down there. But I think it's a big deal, man, because Dwight he plays so well in that role that they have him in now. You know, and you know, a lot of people, they enjoy being the man, but when they're not the man no more, how do they adjust by not being it? And I think he's adjusted really well, and definitely they're giving the money to his favorite charity for social injustice is an amazing thing.
Yeah, they absolutely right. I mean, that's a lot of money to donate, so good for him. Also good for the Lakers because they've already lost a couple guys that aren't going to be there with them. So they need Dwight Howard if they're going to go on this run. I never thought Dwight wasn't going to play. I still think what he was saying about spending your time and using your voice on the causes that he and other players are focused on right now is absolutely valid. And if he wouldn't have gone to play, I wouldn't have blamed him for that either. I am a believer in using that platform and the access to that platform being the best use of your voice. So I think Dwight can probably get more done by being there than by staying home. So anyway, I think it's a big deal. I'm glad he's going.
Big deal, small deal, no deal. The NHL and their players agreeing to a return date of August 1st this season while also signing a 4-year extension on their CBA.
It's a big deal. You know, that is one of the – and I might be wrong, and tell me if I'm wrong, Bunk. Does that seem like that's what the players in union – you never hear any bad thing about, or am I wrong?
Now, I mean, they have had problems in the past. But
I mean, I like it, I guess. It's a big deal. I mean, anytime you get an extension on a CBA and continue to start your season, I think it's always a good thing, man. I mean, they're going up to Edmonton. Ain't going to be a lot to do because they know, you know. But what did I tell you about last week about Brenda, the hotel lady? I mean, after you've been away from people for a long time, everybody started looking good. So them chicken back strippers up there, they might start looking good to you when you're stuck, you know, away from your family for so long.
Well, I mean, they, you know, just because there's chicken back strip clubs doesn't mean there's not other people up there that look nice. Some people have a thing for mountain women. You know,
I mean, I was going to say
there's a lot
that.
Of mountain women up there in Edmonton.
What's the talent in up there? Is
I don't
it mountainy?
Know.
Like,
yeah, it's mountain, like outdoor. You're going to find some ladies who can like
chop some wood,
know how to start a fire in the woods, build a shelter,
cool,
like
man.
A lean-to
cool.
tent or something like that, and right. keep you warm at night as well.
Right. Do they shave?
You're looking for. Depends on what part you're talking about, but
okay, just checking.
Wow, that was. We'll come back and get to an NFL no huddle. My bad.
Damn it,
Sports Radio. My bad. Sports Radio 92.9 again.